2 Kings this morning, 2 Kings chapter 2. Hasn't the song service been a blessing this morning? Oh, I tell you, church, it is. It has been a real help to our hearts as we think about the wonderful truths of God's Word, as we think about Jesus paying it all. Wow. I tell you what, that's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. I don't care what anybody says. It is. It is wonderful, wonderful truth of God's Word. And it should affect our hearts. You know, the truth of God should affect our hearts, folks. I know everyone expresses things differently, and that's totally that's just totally appropriate for everyone to have their own way. But regardless, everyone's heart should be moved in some way as we think about these wonderful truths of God, of Jesus paying it all, that my faith has found a resting place, my hope is in the Lord, look and live. Wow. We think about the truth of the teaching of faith in that song right there, and how thankful we are. Thank you, Brother Mike, for letting the Lord lead you as He plans these song services. And Brother Ricky and I were talking this morning. A lot of people don't realize the preparation that not only goes into a message that I'm about to preach, but the preparation that goes into developing the song service. Brother Mike puts much prayer, and as he lets the Lord lead him, we don't talk and say, hey, you know, every once in a while I'll make a request, but most of the time it's just the Lord leading Brother Mike, and appreciate that, and appreciate the choir. You guys do an excellent job. Your faithfulness is an encouragement to this preacher. I want you to know that, and thank God for you. Well, this morning we're going to continue in our study on the life of Elisha. Last week, we did introduce our series, and we talked about the call of God upon the life of Elisha. And this week, we're going to fast forward to where we see that call coming into effect, if you will. And it's going to be interesting to see how God develops this prophet to prepare him for a wonderful ministry that he will have in Israel, among the people of God, and as God will use him to be a light in a dark place. And I mean dark. But we're going to continue this morning. Let's look there in 2 Kings chapter number 2, please. I'm not going to read all of the verses for the sake of time, but I will read the first couple here, and then we will skip forward just a little bit. But let's begin there in chapter 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass." All right, so remember, back where we studied last week, it was in 1 Kings chapter 19. Well, this is several years later, okay? Some commentaries think that this could have been up to 20 years later. I don't quite see it as being that long, maybe more around 10, maybe a little less. But nevertheless, the context is Elisha has been mentored all these years under the ministry of his predecessor and walking with him and learning from him. And now we're coming to that point where there's going to be a transition. There's going to be a passing of the torch, or in this case, the mantle. If you will. So it says here, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Period. So they went down to Bethel, and that is going to reoccur two more times in different areas, but the same thing is going to happen. Elisha is going to recommend that he stay there, if you will. It wasn't necessarily a command, but it was more, hey, why don't you just stay here while I go to the next place? And the same thing would occur. Elisha would say, I'm going to paraphrase here, no way, Jose, all right? Well, I'm not going anywhere except with you. Wherever you go, I'm going. I am dedicated, and we'll see that here. I am dedicated to what God is doing in my life. So we see that reoccurrence, and then skip forward with me, please, to verse number 9. So it came to that place where the waters have been divided there at the Jordan, and the miracle of Elijah, and we see in verse 9, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he, Elijah, said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. With the Lord's help this morning, I do want to preach a message entitled, Elisha's Dedication to the Call. Elisha's Dedication to the Call. Listen, everybody under the sound of my voice has the call of God upon their life in some way. And God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you every day, hopefully through His Word as you read it, and in services like this as you're listening to the preaching. The Holy Spirit is always calling His children to do something for Him and His glory. And in this case, we see a specific call upon the life of Elisha, and we saw last week how he answered it without any question. But there's something interesting that God does about the call that He puts on our lives. He brings us to that place of full surrender where we say, okay, Lord, I hear Your voice. I sense Your leading. Lord, I'm Yours. He brings us to that place, but it doesn't end there. Then the Lord and His all-wise being, His almighty power, His omniscience, knowing everything, what He decides to do then at that point in our surrender, then He puts us to a test. He puts us to a test to see whether or not we're really sincere about the call of God on our lives, whatever direction that might be. To whatever place, whatever people, to whatever thing that God is calling us to do, He is going to put us to the test. And in these verses, that's exactly what we see happening. God is putting Elisha to the test. And so may we be aware of that very thing this morning, church, that when you say yes to the Lord, or no, for that purpose, He may be calling you not to do something. For that matter. But when you agree to the Lord, to the call that He's putting on your life, that's great. And God will honor that. But then the next step is He's going to say, okay, now let me see how serious you were. Let me see how sincere you were about the surrender you made. And that's what's going to happen with Elisha. And that's, my friend, what we can learn from even this morning. Have I prayed before this message? All right, let's pray. Father, I need You. This is Your holy word, and oh God, this is such a sacred time as the word of God goes forth. And Lord, I can do nothing without You. And I'm just praying, Holy Spirit, that You would work in the hearts of all of us this morning. I know that You've been dealing with me already in this message. And I just pray life-changing decisions will be made this morning for Your glory. You are worthy, King Jesus. You are worthy. We thank You now. We thank You ahead of time and right now for what You will do. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. There was a missionary there wanting to go, I believe it was, to the country of China. And it was there in England where he would go to the missionary the institution or the missionary board, if you will, to talk to the leaders and about the possibility of being a missionary from their mission or supported by their mission. He was a candidate and he was going to be interviewed for the possibility of being sent to this country. But this missionary was put to the test way before possibly he even could think that it would be. But it did.
He was called by this veteran missionary who was the director of this board, and he called him to come at a certain time that day. It was early in the morning, and sure enough, the missionary shows up to the place and is, of course, ready for the interview and looking forward to it, ready to prove himself. Well, sure enough, no one answered the door. And he's starting to question himself now, did I get the right time? Did I get the right date? Am I in the right place? And so he just decides to wait around a little while. Maybe this veteran missionary is running late. So he waits and waits and waits, and sure enough, nothing. He starts looking at his watch, and time's going by, an hour. Man, I know it was this date. I know it was this time. And sure enough, lo and behold, the director comes to the door. And he says, oh, young lad, come on in. All right. And really doesn't make any kind of apologies, doesn't say anything about, hey, are you sorry I'm late, anything like that. The missionary comes in and he asks him a question. He sits down for the interview and first question he asks, he says, sir, what is 2 plus 2? And the missionary thought, what? This is such a strange question. What in the world? But he said, well, sir, it's 4. And he said, that's good, young lad. That's good, young man. And then he would go say, well, actually, you know what? I think I have something that's come up. I just thought about it. Could you just come back here in about an hour? And of course, now it's just getting awkward. It's getting really weird. And so sure enough, the young lad expresses, yes, that's no problem. That's no problem. I can do that. So he goes out and waits, and it ended up being that certain amount of time, and the patience was starting to, you know, at least in my life, would have been wearing thin. But the leader comes back, the director says, come on in. And he asked him another question. He said, now look, I'd like to ask you this. What is, and he's not going to believe it, but what is 4 plus 4. Now the missionary's like wondering if this man is insane or not. Do I need to be going with this board or not? And so he says, well, sir, in a polite way, he said, well, sir, 4 plus 4 is 8. And he said, you know what? You're exactly right. You answered correctly on that. And he said, and I want to tell you something else, young man. I want to tell you I appreciate your humility. And of course, he's like, okay. He said, what I have done this morning is I have given you a test. He said, number one, I did not answer the door on purpose. You're a young man coming to say you want to be a missionary to the country of China. You say you're dedicated to the call. I wanted to see how dedicated you were. I didn't answer the door to see how your attitude would be. Here you come, there's no one here, the date, the time, and I noticed that your humility, even when I met you, you didn't complain, you didn't make any kind of comments that would be disrespectful or ungrateful. He said, but then I started insulting your intelligence. I started asking these questions to you, and you know, your response was exactly what I was looking for. He said, young man, I want you to know I've interviewed dozens of other candidates. And in the same test, the way that I have tested you, they did not do so well. There was bad attitudes. There was a grumpiness. There was an ungratefulness. There was a disrespect. And the different things. And he said, sir, we're going to continue this interview. We are indeed. But I want to tell you, you have started out to be the missionary we're looking for. And you see what that was. That was that mission board testing this man's character, testing his seriousness about the call of God on his life. And I want to say to you, church, this morning, God does that in our lives. We say one thing, Lord, this is what I want to do. And then the Lord says, okay, let's see what you're going to do. And that's what we see here. First of all, I want us to see this dedication of Elisha to the call is a dedication of faithfulness. Look there in verses 2, 4, and 6. Again, there's a reoccurrence of Elijah going to these different places, and he suggests that Elisha stay. But all three times, you'll notice verse 2, verse 4, and verse 6, he says, I will not leave thee. Now, that's a pretty dogmatic statement, don't you think? Here's this great prophet, this great man of God. And by the way, we do know that he's not commanding him to stay there, because otherwise it would be disrespectful. And otherwise we would know that that would not be in the characteristic of Elisha at this time. But we do know that he is simply passing a test saying, look, Elijah, wherever you're going, I'm going. There is a spirit of faithfulness there to say, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to be faithful. You know, it is true that we must be faithful all the time. He was serious about the mission. He had been traveling with Elijah, watching the miracles and the power of God on his life. And he knew that it was getting toward the end of that season. The reason I know that is because even the sons of the prophets we're going to see here made mention a couple times. Elisha, you know, Elijah's about to leave. And he says, yes, I know. So he knew it was getting toward the end. And Elisha was like, I'm not leaving your side. There was a dedication to being faithful to the call of God. What about you? What is God calling you to do here? What decisions have you made for the Lord? Where is your faithfulness in that? Listen, we would know in a relationship, whether it be marital or whatever kind of relationship it be, if there's an 85% faithfulness, there is no faithfulness at all. There must be, in order to be faithful to the call of God, we must be all in. Lock, stock, and barrel, saying, God, here am I, here's my life. And I believe that was the heartbeat of Elisha. He was learning the art of stick-to-itiveness. He said, I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to stick with you, and I'm going to be as close to you as I can. I thought it was interesting to note that, if you'll notice there in the Bible, that as these sons of the prophets, they would, there in verse 7, it says here, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets, when they were coming by the Jordan, it says that they went and stood to view. What's those next two words, church? Afar off. Isn't that interesting? Who are these sons of the prophets? Where they were studying to be prophets. They were in what we would consider maybe a modern day Bible college. They were studying to be preachers. But here in the Old Testament, they were studying to be prophets. But yet there was interesting the way they were viewing this whole scene with Elijah and Elisha, who was also training to be a prophet, Elisha. But they stood afar off. It's like they didn't want to get too close, but they were watching what's going on. But not Elisha. Elisha was as close as he could because he knew that's where the learning was. That's where the call was. That's where the power was. And I'm afraid in my own life, and maybe I'm speaking of some of you this morning, that sometimes when it comes to the call of God, we kind of view it from afar. It's sort of this thing that it's always there, but we keep a distance. Maybe one day. Maybe not all the way. It's always there, but God's saying, no, I want you in, all in, 100%. I think of Peter. Peter could relate with that in the New Testament. There in the Word of God, there at the crucifixion scene, the Word of God says Peter was followed afar off. There was a distance. There was a distance. And if we're not careful, church, that's what we'll do with our Savior, the one who paid it all. To the one to we owe all. We'll follow from afar off. But Elisha, he's like, Elijah, I'm in. God called me. God called me. And remember, it wasn't Elijah that called him. It was God that called him. And Elisha knew that. We got to be careful of being man called. You know, I believe, Brother Ricky and I were talking about that this morning in Sunday school class. The call of God has to come from the Lord and not from man. Now, He can use men to help encourage that call, but it's going to be God who does the calling. So we see not only a dedication to faithfulness, but then we see a dedication to difficulty. Now, you'll understand the context. They're in a region there in the three different areas where he would first travel to Bethel, then to Jericho, then to Jordan. This was rough terrain. Anybody that's been to Israel will know this. I know being in Niger, being in the desert land, it is just rough terrain the majority of it, okay? Well, if you calculate the miles of this traveling of these three different places, you're going to get about 35 miles in one day. I don't know about you, I've never personally walked 35 miles in one day. I don't even know if I've walked 5 miles in one day, okay? I hope I have, I think I have, but the truth is, that's a lot of miles. In rough terrain and following this prophet around, hey, that was some difficulty. And I believe that there was a test being done here to Elisha. Elisha, where I'm going, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. You going to follow me? You going to be called? You going to answer the call? I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be tough. And Elisha is learning that as he walks with this great prophet Elijah. He walks around. It's going to be tough. He's teaching him to endure hardness. Like Paul told Timothy, listen, you need to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know about you, but if you've been a Christian for any period of time, you've probably learned along with me that the Christian life is not for pansies. Can somebody say amen right there? The Christian life is not for pansies. It's not for the wimps. It's not for those that are not willing to endure some tough times, some difficulty, to take some knockdowns, to get into some battles. Oh, my friends, that is the Christian life. That's why I encourage our young men and even our young ladies, of course, everybody here. But they say, hey, the cool thing is to do this and that. Hey, no, let me tell you what the cool thing is to do the hard thing. And that is to stand with some backbone and say, that's not going to be me. I'm going to endure some hardness. I'm not going to go the life of ease and pleasure where everything just feels good. I tell you what. We will never fulfill the call of God on our lives if we're just looking for a life of ease. I tell you, we can get spoiled real quick, church, and I'm preaching to Brinson Jennings too. We got to understand that this thing of the Christian life, there's some hard stuff we deal with. Dealing with our own heart and dealing with things of life. There's some difficulty there. And you know, one of the things that's interesting about this difficulty, at this time, it was before he was promised anything. Now, let's admit it, there's a place to give incentives. There's a place to give motivation, no doubt about it. We do it all the time. But in this case, at this time, there's no incentive. Elijah hadn't said anything to Elisha about this blessing, ask what you will. That's not come. All Elisha knows at this time is that God's called me to be with you until you leave. And I'm not going to leave your side. And we see a dedication to difficulty even without the promise of a reward. And that's where it really hits us too, doesn't it, church? What are we doing? Are we waiting on God to bless us before we answer the call of God? Are we waiting for God to do His part? If you will, before we're faithful to the call of God. Elisha said, hey, I'm in this for the difficulty too. We see not only a dedication to the difficulty, but we see a dedication to focus. He had a focus. He says here to these sons of the prophets, if you notice again in verse 3 and 5 is where we see them speak up. They say unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And Elisha's response in verse 3 says, and he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. What was he saying there? I believe Elisha was saying this, fellas, I'm focused. I'm focused. God's called me to do something, and you can call out and say what you will. Maybe to be a distraction. We don't know all the details going on there. But the fact of the matter is, it didn't discourage Elisha. It did not distract Elisha. He was focused. And if these fellows, which it appears to be, very well could have been naysayers, the doubters,
that'll never work. You'll never make it. That's too much. That's going too far. That dream you have, that victory you're looking for. Hey, you know your boss, your chief there, you know he's about to leave, don't you? Elisha said, oh, I know. And praise God. That's why I'm sticking close. He was sticking close to the call of God. He had a focus and not getting distracted. Listen, can I encourage you with something here? Something you may have already found out. People will doubt you when it comes to fulfilling the will of God and the call of God. But don't let them doubt you. Don't let them doubt you. God has called you and placed in you a gift to use for His glory, and don't let anybody tell you anything differently. God's hand is seeking to be fully upon your life, and He's calling out even this morning amongst a great group of folks that are seeking to honor the Lord, and He's calling all the time. And it's time for us to open up our ears, not only to answer the call, but to commit to the call. And say, Lord, I am willing to go all the way, whether You reward me or not. He had a focus. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I go through seasons of my life where there's great doubt and discouragement. And there are seasons that where you can almost accept a lie that there's no hope. But listen, in those seasons, that is where you go back to the call of God. That's where you'll remain steadfast. That's where you will remain focused upon the call of God on your life. And I don't care what so-and-so says, I'm doing what I believe the Lord has called me to do. And I'm going to do it by His grace and by His mercy. And that was the focus of Elisha. And then fourthly, I see a dedication to seek the power of God. You see, the call of God must have the power of God. Look there, where we read earlier. Elijah is after, in verse 8, after he does this miracle of the wrapped mantle and smiting the waters were divided and they went over on dry ground. So right after this miracle, we see Elijah basically say to him, what do you want from me? What can I give you? Now listen up, church. Listen up. This is where Elisha truly shows his character. This is where, again, the test. Now, he could have said, oh, I'm so glad you asked. I've been looking at that 80 acres over there on the backside of Jerusalem for a while now. No, he could have talked about, well, I've been looking to get me some more oxen. Those others, I made a dumb decision and burned them all and fed them to the family. Sure would like to replenish those oxen. All my tools, I'd kind of like to get those back just to have something to at least lean on. You know, he could have gone 1,000 different ways. He could have gone materially. He could have said, look, I need some material things, some physical things. But you know what? That's not what happened. Elijah asked him, and boy, his mind automatically and immediately went to the spiritual. Went to the spiritual. He said, I'd like to have a double portion of what you've had in preaching the Lord God Almighty among these people. The miracles that you have been doing before an ungodly nation and the power of God that you've demonstrated, Elijah said, that's what I want. And not only do I want it, but I want to do the same thing you've done, Elijah. Do you see there's a dedication to seek the power of God? He said, bless me spiritually. Listen, can I say this? The power of God will be in proportion to the dedication to God. Fully dedicated, fully powered.
If you're fully surrendered, you can go ahead and count on it. By the authority of this book, you will have full power from on high. Full power. But it's the times in life, church, where we give up 10% here and 5% there, and we hold on to these things instead of every day of every moment, even after failure and sin, we say, Lord, I want to renew my full surrender unto you. And the moment that the heart is truly surrendered unto Him, the call of God is empowered completely, not lacking anything. Fully surrendered life is a fully empowered life. And may God raise up a pastor at this church and a group of members at this church who are fully surrendered and functioning in the full power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what we want. That's what we desire. I don't want to do this work in the flesh, and I know you don't either. We want to see the power of God. And Elisha wanted to see the power of God. He said, Elijah, I know you're leaving, but one thing I ask, please just let me continue the work you've been going in. Let me see the power of God. And this word double portion is interesting. It doesn't carry the exact connotation that immediately comes to mind. We think of necessarily double in quantity. But I believe that this word, if we look back, we don't have time, but if we look back at Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, this double blessing carries the context of an inheritance. And what Elisha is saying, Lord God, what I would like from the Lord God, Elijah, what I would like is to inherit the power you have and the ministry you have to keep on for the Lord God Jehovah. And it's interesting that as Elisha cries out for this inheritance of this power from on high, isn't it interesting the response of Elijah? Look in your Bibles. Verse 10, he said, thou hast asked a what, church? That's an interesting phrase in the Word of God. What does that mean? Does that mean it's too hard for the Lord? Does it mean it's too hard for Elijah? Well, I believe we look at that. I believe we can draw a couple conclusions. Number one, I do believe that what Elijah was saying is like, number one, I can't give you that answer. That answer has to come from God. And you're going to wait on it. You keep your eyes on me. And as God takes me up out of here, you keep your eyes on me. You don't quit. You stay committed. And you keep your eyes on me, and if you do, you will know once I'm gone whether the power has failed, and it failed. It failed completely in a double portion upon the life of Elisha. But we see here that this double portion, it was a hard thing. Not only because it had to come from, not Elijah couldn't do it, it was hard for him because he couldn't do it, but God could give it. But then secondly, I believe we can draw from this, it was a hard thing because of what it entailed. Back to my point earlier on the dedication to difficulty, you know what this meant about a hard thing? It meant very, very clearly that the ministry that he was about to embark on alone, if you will, as a prophet, it was going to be a very tough one. It's going to be a very tough one. Child of God, can I try to speak to your heart? Listen, there's not a person in this room that's not experiencing some type of difficulty in your life. And I want to tell you, whether it was because of a bad decision or of a good decision, let me tell you something. God's going to use that difficulty in your life to fulfill the call of God on your life. It is the utmost importance to understand that the difficulty that you are going forward in, it will be to see the power of God on your life. Do you remember the type of people this prophet is going to have to go preach to? These are people that he's going to come up on groves where they're worshiping Baal and throwing, again, live infants into the fire, and where there's just this ungodly immorality spread across the land. That's where he is being called to. You talk about needing the power of God. He's going to need it. And guess what? If you're here this morning and you some reason think that you don't need the power of God on your life, you are sadly mistaken. all mothers here, you know, to be a mother that honors the Lord in your life, you need the power of God. The same with the dads and the same with the sons and daughters and through the line, grandparents. We as church members need the power of God. But the question is, do we want it? Are we asking for it as Elisha did? He most certainly did. He did not hesitate. Double portion, Elijah. Double portion. I want what you've had and I want to do it. Now here's the question. Did he do it for pride? You look at the scriptures, do you think that his motive could have been pride? Oh no, my friend. As we read the life of Elisha here in the coming weeks, we will see that what he asked for was not for himself. It was for the glory of God. And that's something that we must cover very quickly before ending. We must realize that the power of God is not for show. The power of God is not for attention to ourselves, to our families, to our church. No! The power of God is so that God will be glorified fully from this place. Hey, that is the desire that we should have when it comes to the fullness of the power of God Almighty. We've got some difficult things. Hey, Brother Christian, I believe this. I believe that we know the Apostle Paul got this. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Sorry if I'm quoting that wrong. But when he had a thorn in the flesh, he was going through some hard things in his life. Some say it was a physical ailment, maybe some blindness, maybe some other things. There's nobody knows for sure what was wrong with Paul, but this is what we do know. We know he came to the conclusion that he said, "Oh God, If this difficulty, if these thorns in the flesh, if this is what you have chosen for my life, Lord, let it come. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me." He related the difficulty comes the power. And so what do we learn as a church here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church on this morning? If we constantly try to go for a life of ease, we're never going to experience the power of God in our lives. We got to be dedicated to do difficult things. We got to be dedicated to knowing the power of God and walking in the power of God. You know, how do we take that test? Well, I would hand out maybe a test this morning, but I'm not. Mainly because I really don't like tests at all. And probably neither do you. Some of you that are a little weird may like tests, okay? But no, with all seriousness, I could hand out a test. What would a test look like? What does hard things look for people in church on a Sunday morning that come to hear the Word of God who are being faithful? You're being faithful. Thank God for that. How does it look for people in church that are coming to church? How do we experience difficulty? Do we go looking for it? Not necessarily. But if we're living for the Lord, it'll come. But I'm just going to go ahead and just put it down where it can meet us all. What about things that go against comfort? What about something like this when it comes to the way we spend our lives? What about when it comes to serving at the church? What about when it comes to at home reading our Bibles? What about when it comes to home getting up early, maybe another hour early instead of sleeping in, telling that comfort no? What about when instead of enjoying and getting so excited about recreational things, which it's okay, instead of doing that, what if we said, listen, we're going to set recreation aside today and we're going to spend it investing in prayer? You know what most of us would do, and I'll raise my hand, it'd be like, oh, that's going to be a little inconvenient, that's going to be a little uncomfortable. But the truth of the matter is, we got to realize, and we got to, everyone search your own heart. I search mine, you search yours, let the Lord speak to us. But this is what we got to realize. Are we allowing God to bring us through difficulty? Are we willing to count that cost? Are we willing to do that to see the power of God in our lives? May the Lord help us. You know, the motto of every missionary, Adoniram Judson said, listen to this, the motto of every missionary, whether preacher, printer, or schoolmaster, ought to be, get this, devoted for life. I'm talking to Christians here this morning. that perhaps need to say, Lord God, I have not been devoted. I have not been dedicated. I've taken my life off the altar. I've been doing pretty much what I want to do, and I fill you in on the gaps. Lord God, I want that to change today. I want to be all in. I want you to take my life and everything that I have, all the bad and the good, and Lord, just use me for your glory. I want the call of God on my life, and I want the power of God. And there's some things here that need to be decided this morning. That same man that made that decision, listen to his testimony. He went to the mission field, and he lost two wives there. He lost two wives, and he also lost 6 of 13 children on the mission field. He had great trials. He spent time in prison. When his first wife died and his second wife and after they died of sickness and smallpox and different things of that nature and children passing, there was a great difficulty there. But Judson, he said, hey, yes, she suffered hardships and died, but she died for the sake of him who left his heavenly home. They left their homes and their family to spread the glory of God to an unreached people group. And I don't believe God's calling everybody here in this church to reach unreached people groups. But maybe there is one. But I tell you what He is doing. And I can't tell you this, church. You know that. But God is calling each of you to do something. Maybe you've already heard it. Maybe you've answered it. But now the question is, are you going to follow through with your commitment to do what God is calling you to do? Let's pray.